going to tell Azzy Lou how much I love you for playing the organ. And I want to play this song one time and let them listen to you play.
Just one word sign.
Yeah, same word we're going to say. And you just play. I want you to know how much I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I know I won't get through this without crying, but I gotta say this. Tim was talking about revival, and whenever Daddy was off of work in the summertime, me and him would just pile up in the car in the morning and go to revival somewhere during the day. And it's gonna be a big revival one day. Amen. And we'll be able to have revival again.
For time more. thank the Lord for the good song service this morning and for each of you that have made your way out to Silver City Baptist Church. We desire your prayers this morning. We stand in need of your prayers today. Again, we want to try to bring the message that the Lord would have us to bring in the way that He would have us to. And this message has been bearing down on us pretty hard since last night, and we want to try to deliver it. It would probably not be the one of our choice if we had a choice, but nevertheless, it's important that we be faithful. God knows what we stand in need of. He knows what's ahead of us as people and as a church and what the future holds. And I believe if we study the Bible, we'll find that God has recorded things in the Old Testament that are an example or to teach us about things that might be going on in the world today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. We're going to read a lot of Scripture, if I know my heart, but we may not read it all at once. We may take it our time this morning and try to bring you that God has placed on our heart. Also, we're going to read a little Scripture over in the book of Revelations. The third chapter, beginning with the first verse, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits. It's a little over 50 feet, if I understand the distance of a cubit, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall at the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Now I want to stop there for just a minute and read some scripture that's found in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelations, beginning with the 4th verse. "And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Going down the 16th verse of that same chapter, "And he calleth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." And may God add His blessing to the reading of His Word, and we may read some more Scripture if we know our heart this morning, but I want to stop there. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And up to that time, it was probably the greatest empire that had ever existed. Nebuchadnezzar was one that God had used to bring judgment on the children of Israel because of their disobedience. It was Nebuchadnezzar and his armies that had destroyed Jerusalem and had taken the children of Israel captive and had even taken some of the young people that were there in Jerusalem back to Babylon. But his empire was vast, and it covered a great area of the known world at that time. And within this area, there were many provinces, there were many languages, there were many different cultures, there were many different religions. And no doubt Nebuchadnezzar thought within himself that if he could bring all of those people together, if they could come and worship him as a deity, that it would give him more power over the people. And the Bible said that he built this image of gold, this huge image there in the plain of Dur. It was over 50 feet high, over 5 feet wide, just solid gold. And he sent out an invitation or a command to all of the leaders and all of the provinces and all the countries that he ruled. And he invited them to come to a great celebration that he was hosting, a great dedication. And at this celebration, he gave them specific instructions that they would hear music played. And when the music was played, that each person was to bow down and worship this image that he had set up. And no doubt the Bible said that when they arrived, all of these people came, and when they heard the music, they bowed down and they worshiped this image. I read to you in the book of Revelations where John the Revelator, who was on the Isle of Patmos for the gospel's sake, the Bible said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Bible said John saw some great and some terrible things. And this morning the Bible said there in the book of Revelations that he saw a beast arise from the sea, and he described this beast. And this morning, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but as I read the Word of God today, I believe that there's going to be hard times ahead for the church and for the people of God. Jesus said, except there being a great falling away, He would not come. Jesus said, there'll be a great tribulation, not like the world has ever seen before. And the Bible said that this beast would come, and He would have great power. And the Bible said that the nations would worship Him, and people would look to Him. Listen, I thought about the day in which we live. Never before in the history of the world has it been possible for people to communicate as they do today. I can post something on Facebook, if I was on Facebook, and people all over the world could read it. There are people that people follow on Twitter. They can post a message, and instantly millions of people can read it. They say some of the riots this spring or last spring in the Middle East were started with young people just said, let's meet at a certain place at a certain time and protest. There's great power in that communication that people have today. And I thought about how the setting is being, how the table is being set for someone to come and to try to take power. Listen, this beast, some refer to him as the Antichrist. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, he said, the Antichrist is already here, the spirit of the Antichrist. He that denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the Antichrist. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Listen, I read something. I'll share this with you. I shared it with Liberty a few weeks ago, and I won't share the whole story, but it was a nice article on AOL. Sometimes they have human articles. It was one of those articles that made you feel good. It was about a Jewish man and a Christian who met, and at the end of the article, they were hugging and embracing, and all was well. But the point of this article, the statement that the compromise or the statement that the article was trying to make, as the Jewish man said, it's okay for you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and it's okay for me to believe that He was just a great teacher. He said, you don't have to be wrong for me to be right. That's the message that the world is sending out today. They use the word tolerance, but tolerance means that we allow people to hold an opinion different than our own, and we respect people's rights to have an opinion. But in this day and time, tolerance means that one idea is just as valid as another. Listen, that's setting the table today for the rise of someone who will try to unify all the religions of the world, as Nebuchadnezzar did here. Listen, listen today, church. Either either Jesus Christ was the Son of God and He died on a cross for our sins, and on the third day He rose again, or He was not. There's no way you can be right and they can be right at the same time. Jesus is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen today, this beast came, and I can see a time it may not be in my life, but I fear, I tremble in my heart for what my children are going to face, what my little grandchildren are going to face. Listen today, I read in your hearing where it talked about a time where even if you wanted to trade or do business, you had to have the mark of the beast. I was reading something the other day about the dollar. Most of us in our lifetime, the dollar has been the standard of the world. It was the standard by which all other currencies were measured since World War II. You could trade the dollar anywhere in the world. But as we become the largest debtor nation in the history of the world, the dollar is beginning to fall. And as it begins to fall, people will begin to look. Listen, I can see a time. I read an article last night on the internet. I just saw the title. I was talking about a new type of money where you didn't have to have banks and all of these things. I don't know how it works, but listen, the times are ripe today. We live in a world where people have adopted this idea of tolerance. It's setting the groundwork for one to come. Nebuchadnezzar came and he wanted to consolidate his power, and he built this image and he caused all the people to come and to worship. The Bible said in that day, all nations, all people bowed and worshiped the beast, except for those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today, children, we need to take advantage of the day in which we have. Jesus said, work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I can see a day when a man who preaches the gospel, who says that Jesus is the only way to salvation, I will be subject to civil penalties. Brother Doug mentioned that the other day. Brother, and I see that day coming. I see a day when if a man stands and preaches against sin, brother, that he'll stand in a position where he'll be considered intolerant. It'll be called hate speech. Listen today, our God is a righteous and a holy God, and He is holy in all things. He's a loving God, but He's also a holy and a righteous God. We need to take advantage of the liberties that we have. The Bible said the fields are wide already unto harvest. Brethren, if we're going to turn it around, we need to turn it around today. America needs a revival more today than it's ever needed. I know you've had a wonderful year here at Silver City. I know you've got many to baptize, but on the authority of God's Word, the fields are still wide already unto harvest. If you know someone that's lost and undone, this is the time. It's not another season. This is the harvest season. Invite them to the house of God. Brethren, things have changed in the last 4 years. It's amazing to me how the attitudes of people have changed. It's harder and harder to get people interested. Why today, if a man were to stand and say something about his faith, if they asked the president if he believed in creation, if he believed that God created the world, we had a candidate last time around who said, yes, I believe God created the heavens and the earth. Why, the media just had a frenzy, didn't they? They couldn't believe that someone would seek the highest office in the land who had such opinions. Listen today, children. They're trying to shut us out, and they're succeeding today in many places. Brother, we as God's people need to stand. The Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar made this proclamation and the music sounded and all the people bowed except for three. There were three that stood. Listen, the Bible said that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, three of those boys from Israel that he had brought in, when the music sounded, they refused to bow. They came to Nebuchadnezzar, some of the people that were there, and saw what had happened. And they told Nebuchadnezzar what had happened, that they had refused to bow. And the Bible said Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He was angry with them. Brother, I tell you what, some of the most intolerant people I know are those who preach tolerance. You can have every idea you want except that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They won't have that, brother. Listen, these three boys, they refused to bow. The Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he commanded that they be brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Jesus one time was asked, they were trying to trick him, and they asked him if it was legal or a right to give a tribute to Caesar. And Jesus asked for a coin, and he looked, and they gave him a coin, and he said, "Whose image is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." And Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." There's going to come a time when each one of us in our life are going to have to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the Bible says, "Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." There'll come a time in our life, brethren, we need to be good citizens. We need to obey the laws of the land. But when the law of the land contradicts the law of God, we have to take a stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took a stand. They said, "O king, we don't even have to think about this. They said here, Nebuchadnezzar, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We've already answered this in our heart. I made a decision a long time ago when I went to that altar that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He is the Savior and my Lord. And that's a decision I need to stand by and stand on." These boys had made up their minds long before the music sounded. They weren't going to bow to that image that the king had set up. There's going to come a day, I see that day in the book of Revelations, when those who don't bow to the beast will be persecuted. It's happened throughout history. Those Roman emperors in Jesus' day, they considered themselves gods. And there were many Christians who were thrown to the lion, who were burned at the stake because they refused to renounce the name of Jesus. They died with His names on their lips. They refused to make to acknowledge Caesar as king, as God. Listen today, we as God's people will have to take a stand. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but render unto God the things that are God's. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it happens today in little things. And I thought about this, and this is one of my pet peeves, but when I was growing up, on Sunday, you went to church. You didn't have ball games on Sunday. They didn't schedule tournaments on Sunday. Now I'm going to speak to Christian parents today. I know you love your children. I know you want them to play ball. They enjoy playing ball. But until you take a stand and say, "My child will not be able to play until after church on Sunday," that's going to be something that's going to continue. Listen today, we as God's people must take a stand. Maybe on something small, but it's going to be on something big one of these days. Mark my word, brethren, today on the authority of God's word, there's coming a time when a Christian is going to be in danger of his life if he professes his faith. But I want to encourage you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, "We're not careful, O king, to answer in you this matter. If God's will is, he'll deliver us from this fiery furnace, but he's going to deliver us from your hand. No matter what. If I die or if I live, we're a winner either way. Aren't you glad of that today? Aren't you glad today? Paul, as he faced death, as he knew that his end was near, he had been faithful to preach the gospel, and he was in a Roman prison cell, and he wrote to old Timothy, he said, I've fought a good fight. He said, I've kept the faith. He said, now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Listen, church, today. Hold on. The Bible said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they held on to their faith, and the Bible said, be it known of thee, O King, we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible said he commanded that the furnace be heated 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to bind them up and to cast them into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The Bible said that these men were bound in their coats, their hoses, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew the men who threw them in. The fire was so hot that when these soldiers got to the edge of the door of this furnace and began to cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, the flames overtook them. They perished there at the mouth of the furnace. Listen, can you picture that today? What a horrifying scene that must have been. There Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in. The Bible said in these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was a stone and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the burning fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Listen today, children. Aren't you glad Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, I will go with you until the end of the way. But I believe when old Stephen, brother, when they were casting stones at him, when Paul, they laid their coats at Paul's feet, and they were throwing those stones at Stephen, and Stephen cried out and said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And those stones began to take the very life from his body. I believe old Stephen looked up to heaven. Was the Bible said, he proclaimed, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Listen, children, we need to hold fast, for the Lord will not forsake us, though we might die as Stephen did. We've got the promise of eternal life, though we might be delivered as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. The Lord will be with us. We serve a Lord today. Listen, our Lord died and rose again. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Listen, if we're going to ever do anything for the Lord, we're going to have to get over being afraid of what people can do to us, to our body or to our possessions. Lay them all at the Lord's feet. I don't mean to be offensive to people, but I mean stand up for what you believe when you get a chance, when the opportunity presents itself. Stand up for what you believe. Listen today, I know when I was a kid, you had to go a long way to get a tank of gas on a Sunday afternoon, and I'm guilty of this. If Christian folk today would stop going to the store on Sunday, there wouldn't be as many stores open. The reason they're open is because it's so profitable. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Brother, when I remember when I was a kid, you couldn't buy an alcoholic beverage in Forsyth County. Now they're sold 7 days a week in every store you go into. If Christian folk had got out and voted against it, it never would have passed in the first place. But I'm telling you the truth, and the truth can be hard sometimes, but we as God's people, we need to take a stand. And if we'll take a stand, the Lord will be with us. He was there with them. Nebuchadnezzar, this heathen king, he said, I see a fourth man in the fire, a likened unto the Son of God. You know, when people see Christ in our lives, when we stand up for Him, when we go through adversity, people can see Christ in you. They saw Christ there in that burning furnace. He told them, then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning furnace and spake and said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Listen today, when I read the book of Revelation, I see dark days ahead. Jack, I hope I'm not saying anything out of the way, but that's the only way I could read it. I see trouble ahead for God's people. I do. I see great tribulation and great difficulties. But brother, when you read on in that book, you find there, I believe it's about the 19th or 20th chapter, that there's one who comes riding on a great white horse, and the angels are with him. The Bible said he has on a white vesture, and that vesture's been dipped in blood. And written on him is the words King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen today, church, when I read the whole book, I realize that we win in the end. Jesus wins in the end. Satan is defeated in the end. Listen today, anyone in his power, any spirit that denies that Jesus is the Christ is the spirit of Antichrist. It's in our society today. It's in our world. It's not politically correct for a person to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you something that encouraged me. I went to a Braves game. You wouldn't think you'd get encouraged spiritually at a Braves game. But they had a Sid Bream Day about 2 weeks ago. It was the slide, that famous slide in 1992 when we won the National League Championship Series. I was watching it. I was in my bedroom cheering just like everybody else. And they honored Sid Bream. And I didn't know much about Sid Bream, but he got on that podium, 35,000 people, I guess, in the stands, and he was very humble, and he wanted to thank the Braves, and he thanked the man Cabrera, I believe his name was, who made the hit. He said, I just was running. He said, this is the man that really made the hit. And then he said, you know, I don't even know why Bobby Cox left me out there. He said, I was the slowest man on the team. He said, I was expecting any minute for Bobby Cox to send a replacement runner out there. It was two outs, the bottom of the ninth, and he was the winning run at second base. But then he said this. He said, I know that there is a God in heaven who had me on second base that night to give me a platform where I might tell people about my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, tonight, church, or this morning, that's what we need to be. We need to be bold. I wept in my seat and was ashamed because how seldom do I stand up for my Lord. And he had that there in front of 35,000 people. He could have said anything in the world he wanted to say, but what he wanted to say was, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not dead, but he lives today. Listen, this world, this nation is perishing. Brother, there's a famine in the land, not for bread and water, but for the hearing of the Word of God. Brethren, today, we as God's people, we need to have a revival in the land. May it start here this week. I don't believe this revival's over. I believe some of you have family and friends who are lost and will perish unless they're converted and saved by the grace of God. I pray that we'll get a burden for them. Danny Orr told me a story, and it stirred my soul. They had a lady from Jamaica who came to their church for a long time. She doesn't anymore. Black lady. She was a devout Christian. And she would testify in church and right before their revival. And this stirred my soul because this is the truth. She got up in church and said, my brother in Jamaica died this week. And she said he had the gospel preached to him. He said many times preachers would come to Jamaica and preach the gospel to him. And she said he would not receive it. And she said, I will never see my brother again because he died and went to hell. Oh, so that's what the Bible, that's what we believe, isn't it, church? Or do we really believe today that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? What the world wants us to believe? What if we buy into this tolerance idea? It really doesn't matter what you believe. What they're telling you is that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ doesn't mean a thing. One way is just as good as another. Listen, today we need to stand firm on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know a whole lot about a lot of different things, but I know this. One Tuesday night I was lost and undone. I was convicted of my sins and bound for a devil's hell. And I went to an old-fashioned altar and asked Jesus to forgive me my sins and save my soul. And I got up off that altar a different person. I went home a child of the King. I was saved by His marvelous grace. We need to remember our own experience. It's real to me. It's what God did for me. And I want Him to do that for you. I want Him to do it for my granddaughter that's here today. I fear for her, but I've already begun praying that when she reaches the age of accountability, that she'll hear the gospel and be saved. Oh, listen today. The Bible says in the latter days, they'll have itching ears seeking teachers that'll please the flesh. Oh, listen today. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. May the gospel be proclaimed. I pray that it will. I believe it will. Till the Lord comes back, I believe somebody will be preaching the gospel. They may have to do it in a secret place. They may have to be like the early Christians. They may have to hide for their lives. Saw something on the news a few years ago, and I'll hush. It's been a lot of stories today. But this is it. The Bible's as relevant as the newspaper. Brother, what this book says, you just read what this book says, and you read what's going on in the world today. It's as relevant as the newspaper. The events are unfolding, and it's unfolding at a rapid pace, more so than anything I've ever imagined. But in China, for many, many years, and probably still today, the Christians had to meet underground. And this blessed me because there was not a Christian in China, I don't believe, until after 1800. I believe the first missionary went to China about 1801, 1802, somewhere in there, and labored for years and years and years and only won a few converts. But in the 200 years since, there's been, I think, 50, 60, 70 million Chinese people who've been converted and saved and are Christians in China. And they have to meet a lot of times in secret places. This was an Easter. This was years ago. They won't show anything like this on the news now, I don't guess. But the news reporter was there in China, and they were inside a cave. And they were filming this little group of Chinese Christians as they worship. And there was a little girl there about this boy's age here. And this little girl was singing a song. And you know, I don't know a word of Chinese, but I knew the song she was singing. She was singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's a world of folks out there. Y'all got people from your church that are going over the sea to another continent to share the love of Christ. But brethren, there's lost people right here in this community that need to know about the love of Christ. That's a message God gave me. I struggle with it all night because God put it on my heart. It caused me to tremble when I consider what's ahead. Sinner friend, the best thing you can do today is to get saved. If you're here, today is the day of salvation. If God is speaking to your heart, if God has pricked your little heart and you realize that you're lost, then if you died, you'd lift your eyes in hell. You need to come and receive Jesus as your Savior today. Get a song. That's the message that the Lord has given us. We love you, church. We appreciate all you do. Tim, come on.